Hello and welcome to the CBS Sports Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We are back for week 24. Al Melchior, you're the only person here with me. I'm Chris Towers. Who's the must-add player for week 24?
Well,
if anybody.
As I say, besides Scott White or maybe Heath Cummings.
Well, they're clearly not a must-add player because neither one of them's here, is what I'm saying.
I honestly cannot think of one. I actually just before walking in here finished writing the waiver wire column, and I focused on Tulowitzki replacements.
Yeah.
And actually I figured between him and Cesar Hernandez, people are looking for shortstops. I think if there's anything that's close to a must-add player, I would say probably Eugenio Suarez.
I was thinking him or Jed Jerko.
Yeah.
If you're looking for the shortstop help.
I didn't even include him in there. There's a surprisingly large number of adequate to better than adequate shortstop replacements. So I guess nobody's a must-add because you miss that on Suarez or Jerko.
Yeah.
There's Eduardo Escobar.
There's other guys
Javier
there.
Javier Baez in some leagues still.
And that's one thing that I think we talked about on Friday, and we could talk about again right now, is that shortstop isn't quite the dumpster fire it used to be.
Yeah, not at all.
I would actually say right now it's, for the time being, catcher's probably a harder position to fill, which is interesting. Catcher's always going to be hard to fill, especially in roto leagues, because you need two of them. But, we've got some guys that are hurt heading into week 24, and luckily, I've got two of them, Jonathan LaCroix and Stephen Vogt, on my team. That's not great, but I've got a bye week in week 24 for the playoffs that comes at a perfect time because I have no idea what I'm going to do at catcher if neither of those guys is here. We'll get to those injuries and a lot more later, but first let's start off with the big news heading into week 24. Like you mentioned, you need a Troy Tulowitzki replacement if you were relying on him, although, to be fair, you might have needed a Troy Tulowitzki replacement if you've been relying on him even when he was healthy, because he's been pretty bad.
Yeah, actually this week, I think there was a really strong argument to sit a healthy Troy Tulowitzki. So then out of the three remaining weeks, there's just one week where the whole schedule's at Rogers Center.
Yeah.
So, in fact, the Blue Jays starting off the week at Turner Field, Tulowitzki has a career 601 OPS there. With a fairly decent sample size.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
So you've been spared the dilemma.
Who picks up playing time in Toronto?
I would think probably Cliff Pennington, who I actually did pick up in a deeper league. So that would be my guess.
Yeah, Cliff Pennington used to be, looking up his stats, he used to be like an almost 10 home runs, 15 stolen bases guy, but we're talking about 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
He hasn't done much this season. Probably not worth picking up, although the Blue Jays do have a recent track record of turning guys around and turning them into useful contributors. I guess with Pennington, it's something that you need to see first. I'd rather have any number of shortstops on the waiver wire. Even Didi Gregorius, I'd rather have Eduardo Escobar, all kinds of guys that I'd rather have.
There's a lot. I mean, this was an AL-only league where there's nobody with a job on waivers. And it was actually not Tulowitzki I had to replace. It was Jose Iglesias.
Okay.
So that was my need for Pennington there. But no, you don't have to resort to him or any of the options in Toronto. You can, like, just the names you mentioned. And what we left off, by the way, who would be my top pick, and he's roughly as available as Javier Baez, is Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yeah, he's been really good basically continuously since the All-Star break. He's 52% owned, which is the same exact ownership rate as Starlin Castro, which is kind of, I guess if you drafted Starlin Castro, your season's probably over by now.
Yeah, so he's just rotting away there.
There's just some backwash there. Bryce Harper left Sunday's game after a collision at second base, but he says he's fine and doesn't have a concussion. Something to keep an eye on, but would be surprised if it kept him out for a significant amount of time. Matt Harvey is going to likely pitch shorter half outings from here on out. That's one way to get his innings number under that 185-ish area that they've been talking about. Probably you can't start him at this point, right?
No.
Are you dropping Matt Harvey with this news? I think we talked about on Friday And we all said, you probably want to hang on to Matt Harvey. But if he's only going to go, you know, 65 pitches every outing anyway.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't necessarily. I suppose if it's a shallow league and there's good options out there, it's not, you know, it's not beyond the ken to drop Matt Harvey, because that's just really going to ruin any sort of value that he might have had with one or two full starts left.
Yeah.
But until somebody's just, you know, off the roster, I just always leave open that possibility that maybe there's another change in plans. And the other thing, too, is just that there are very few really safe pitchers to pick up right now.
That's true. You know, the waiver wire is not great. Maybe the two-star pitchers next week will be a little better than the two-star pitchers. Would you rather have J.A. Happ or Matt Harvey right now?
Rather have.
Would you drop Harvey to pick up Happ?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
No. And here's the thing, and you know, you're talking about next week versus this week with two-star pitchers. It's just the nature of this time of the season that I don't think there's going to be any two-star pitcher that I totally trust. One that you could pick up anyway, because who knows if they make both starts? Who knows if they make any starts?
A lot of guys getting skipped. We'll get to that a little later with injuries, news, and notes. Matt Holliday could be back Tuesday, and he's expected to play every day. Randall Grichuk has not been able to play much. I think he's only started one game since coming back. Matt Adams isn't starting, but they've still got too many guys. I guess Piscotty is probably the loser here, right? They wouldn't switch Hayward to center.
Well, no, I would think Grichuk, because they were, you know.
Well, Grichuk hasn't been playing anyway.
Right.
That's what I've been saying.
But I'm trying to think who played over the weekend and is plays maybe John Jay.
John Jay has been playing.
Yeah. I would think Jay probably would lose time.
So who moves to center?
I would think Hayward.
Okay.
Because they were running that alignment out there for a while.
All right.
Grichuk and Piscotty in the corners.
All right.
And you know, maybe Brandon Moss and Mark Reynolds lose a little time at first base where Piscotty can play. So I don't worry too much about Piscotty's playing time.
Okay. And Jonathan LaCroix has missed 5 straight games with a concussion. Finally was diagnosed as an official concussion. He feels foggy, and he's not sure if he'll play again this season, is what he told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So that's not great. He's been heating up, got off to that miserable start, but he's been better lately. Are there any catchers you might want to pick up if you've been relying on Jonathan LaCroix? Martin Maldonado is going to play every day for the Brewers.
Yeah.
The most added catcher, and there's not many on this list, J.P. Arencibia.
Oh, no.
He's up to 25% now.
I got to think there's going to be a better option. I know he's the hot hand, Arencibia. Yeah. But I'd rather go with somebody like JT Realmuto or Wilson Ramos.
Yeah, Realmuto's 30% owned. Miguel Montero's 49% owned.
That's the next name, actually, I was going to say. But I thought Montero might have a little bit of a higher ownership rate. But Montero just might be the first guy I would pluck off of waivers then if he were there.
All right, that's what I'm going to do. Let's look at the weekend standouts. There were some good and some bad. And the primary one that we want to talk about, Johnny Cueto, continues to be very, very bad. 9.57 ERA over his last 5 starts. He's 0-5, averaging just over 5 innings per start, 48 hits in 26 and a third innings. Panic, right? Hit the panic button, mash the panic button, sit on it, put a large, heavy object on the panic button so we really get the point across, or no?
I'm more kind of skirting around the panic button. I'm, you know, keeping it within arm's reach.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's a whole lot of time left to panic. So pretty much if you're panicking, you're just sitting Cueto. So what I'm saying is I'm not sitting Cueto, but I'm very nervous about starting Cueto. But, you know, we had a discussion with Scott last week about, I think it included Cueto or may have been specifically about Cueto, but just what do you do with stud pitchers when something like this happens? And if there was something to point to, velocity probably being the most obvious thing, then you could maybe make an argument to sit for him. But for Cueto, it's not really clear exactly what's wrong. My guess is it's location.
Yeah.
Because when you go into the secondary stats, the things that stand out is very few called strikes for him.
Mm-hmm.
and the balls that are getting swung at and hit, a lot of extra bases. So, but velocity seems fine. The control is pretty good.
But that is something that you could see with a pitcher changing teams. He's been with the same team for a long time. It could be just something where they're just not set up right for him. You know, it could be him and the catcher aren't on the same page. Yeah. Him and the pitching coach aren't on the same page. It could be something that we can't even know, you know, that we have to speculate. And it could be a thing where we have all this data. We have reams of data with, you know, pitch location and velocity and swing strikes and hard hit. But it could be something as simple as, you know, him and the catcher's just calling the wrong pitches or the wrong sequence of pitches.
Yep.
And that's the kind of thing that would be sort of unprovable for us, beyond going in and sequencing every pitch and seeing what, you know, there would be a way to figure that out, but it's essentially unknowable. You know?
Certainly unknowable without a whole lot of research.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's above our pay grade.
I was going to say, if I get promoted to Johnny Cueto specialist and I can sit all day and break it down, maybe I could figure it out. But like I said, maybe I couldn't. And so that's
it
why.
It also could just be one of those things.
Right.
Just be he's had bad five start stretches before. I'd guess this is the worst five start stretch in his career.
Yeah.
I can't imagine he's ever been quite this bad.
Not that I can recall, and I would really be surprised if it weren't the worst.
But it happens. You know, Felix Hernandez had a similar stretch like 2 weeks ago. That's who we were talking about last week on Friday's episode, actually. And so, you know, Max Scherzer's had this kind of stretch. The interesting thing is the home runs. He's given up 9 of them in 9 starts with the Royals. He had only given up 11 in 19 starts with the Reds, but again, it doesn't seem like a thing where there's an explanation for it.
No, it doesn't. And but you mentioned those 9 home runs; those have all come in the last 6 starts.
Yeah,
with the last 5, of course, all being pretty bad. I don't have an answer, and you know, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing because in the absence of information, I'm starting them and keeping my fingers crossed.
The absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence. Someone said that. I'm not sure who.
Might have been
Don Rumsfeld. Jose Fernandez came back, and he actually pitched very well. Only 69 pitches, but 5 innings, 7 strikeouts, 2 hits. He might be a guy that I think you have to start him even when he's on a pitch count, right? Because we saw this when he came back from the Tommy John surgery. A lot of the times when we were doing Daily Fantasy Live, I would try to make the argument against using him with like a $10,000 price for FanDuel because you were only going to get 6 innings out of him at most, and then he'd throw 7 shutout innings with 9 strikeouts on 90 pitches anyway.
Yeah.
Now, if his pitch count is 75 pitches, that doesn't give you much more wiggle room.
No. But I'll take 5 or 6 innings of Jose Fernandez in any week.
Yeah, you'll take 5 innings of Jose Fernandez over whatever Ervin Santana gives you.
Oh, yes.
So he's at Washington this week. Probably, I guess, not a must start, especially in a head-to-head league where the accruing stats matters. But in a roto league where the ratios and the rate stats matter, I think he's a must start still.
He's clearly a must-start in roto leagues. I'd have a hard time seeing sitting him in a head-to-head league. You're right. It's more of an issue there, and it's what your alternatives are. But if nothing else, you're getting a high level of safety with him, safety with high quality. You're just not going to get the quantity.
Yeah, and you'll still get a decent quantity of strikeouts. Colby Lewis flirted with a perfect game, took a perfect game into the 8th inning with 2 outs, finished 9 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0s across the board, 4 strikeouts and a win over the A's. That snapped a 3-start losing streak, which he had allowed 15 runs in 15 and 2/3 innings. How are you feeling about Colby Lewis moving forward?
Oh, okay, because I say looking back, I feel very lucky. he scored huge points this past week, and I do have him in one league. But now going forward, I guess I should look at the matchups because when you face a team like the A's...
with a lot of lefties.
Yep, and they're not going to overpower you. That's a great matchup for Lewis. So you could make good use of a favorable matchup going forward, but my guess is that overall he's going to be somebody to avoid.
He's against Houston this week. You're probably sitting him in week 24.
I'm definitely sitting him.
And Rich Hill, a blast from the, I guess not the past. He pitched in the majors last year as a lefty specialist, but he started for the Red Sox, went 7 shutout innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. What's the more astounding part of that, the 1 walk or the 10 strikeouts?
Maybe the strikeouts, even though the walks have been the issue for Hill, you know, for practically all of his career. But that was a real shocker, and I was interested in seeing how this would go because he had had a nice season in the minors for the Red Sox. But you still figured, you know, it's a whole different deal pitching in the American League, and he had a sensational start. Now it is the Rays who. They just seem to come up big for opposing pitchers a lot, whether it's no hitters or.
The weird thing is, I think they're pretty good against lefties.
Yeah, no, they are. I think
they're like top 8 or 9 in WOBA.
Fourth, I think, actually. Okay. At least last time I looked.
So yeah, that's an impressive start. On the other hand, he was mostly working as a reliever in the minors, and he gave up 5 walks per 9 innings. Hard to get super excited, but in an AL-only league, would you pick him up?
I would, and I did.
And what about in anything less deep than that?
I actually picked him up in 15-team mixed tout wars.
Okay.
And that's just, I'm low in the standings there. Did not have a good year. So if I were in the thick of it, I'm sure I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But basically, I picked up a couple of middle relievers with great ratios, picked up Hill, just hoping maybe, you know, I'll put him in the rotation, get lucky, have a good start. Maybe I can, you know, pick up a spot or two in the standings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a complete Hail Mary move.
The one thing it does potentially make me think of, and I'm not sure, I guess I'd have to look up, I think he's a little older, but we saw, you know, Scott Kazmir. Now, Rich Hill's definitely older. He's older than Scott Kazmir is right now. Wow, Scott Kazmir's young.
Yeah.
Scott Kazmir's only 31. He's got his whole life ahead of him. Rich Hill is 35, because what I was thinking was that the Scott Kazmir thing where he was out of baseball entirely, he was putting up bad numbers for the Long Island Ducks of the International League. And then he all of a sudden comes back to the majors in 2013. He starts putting up very strong numbers, but I guess the analogy doesn't hold up because Rich Hill's so much older.
Right, and didn't have, you know, the several years of good performance, yeah. like Kazmir did too. So certainly share an injury history, but
yeah. So scratch that. Don't listen. Let's move on to start or sit for week 24. We've got a lot of tough decisions and a lot of big names that are pretty risky heading into the season. Joey Votto is appealing his 2-game suspension. He kind of he went bananas on an ump, I think, Thursday or Friday. And he was suspended 2 games. He's appealing it. Can you even dream of sitting Joey Votto, or are 4 games of Joey Votto more valuable than 9 games of whatever first baseman you have on the bench?
Not necessarily, but I'm taking the risk because I just don't think it's a good idea.
I couldn't imagine a world appealing in which I would sit Joey Votto. Yeah. Even if I knew he was missing 2 games this week, I can't imagine sitting him. He's been Barry Bonds since the All-Star break. You know, yeah. I can't even fathom. Like who would you have? How many Brandon Belt games would you need to justify sitting four games of Joey Votto?
Yeah, not Brandon Belt. I'm not sure who. Yeah, and I'm not sure what kind of format that would be. So. It's something of a risk, but it's one that's definitely worth taking.
You know, he could reach base 27 times in 4 games. Might be an exaggeration.
Yeah.
But 10 times.
Extra innings.
10 times he could reach base 10 times in 4 games. I think even in a head-to-head league where you're looking for volume, I still think you still have to start Joey Votto.
Yeah.
Jose Reyes is dealing with an Achilles strain. Start or sit?
I don't think you have to start Jose Reyes. He's been weirdly fringy.
Up and down.
Yeah.
He's had like 2-week periods where he was just atrocious, and then 2 weeks where he was really good. And it's been very hit or miss since Colorado.
It really has. And I took a look at this and looked at the waiver options. It was basically the podcast league where I got knocked out in the first round and sort of an underwhelming season for my team. And Reyes was a part of it. And I had a couple opportunities during the season to trade him, passed it up. And so I looked, okay, like who could I have replaced Reyes with? And I remember looking on waivers, and I don't remember if it was like Solarte or it wasn't Solarte. But somebody on waivers who was just like marginally worse than him. And so, you know, my point is that Reyes is actually replaceable, even in a fairly shallow format.
Yeah, I'm my one big league where I'm still alive. I've got Reyes starting at shortstop. I've got Ruy Neto Dor in my middle infield spot. But then I've got Addison Russell and Ian Desmond on my bench. Would you start Russell or Desmond over him?
I would start over either. Reyes. Oh, yeah. No, I'd start either one.
Okay. And Edwin Encarnacion, can you risk sitting him with a finger injury? He sat out Sunday's game. It's considered day-to-day.
I probably would start him. That's certainly one that you have to check on as close to the 7 o'clock Eastern deadline as possible.
Yeah.
But I would look for ways to start Encarnacion.
He's been back to being Edwin Encarnacion over the last probably about 2 months at this point. He had a rough stretch for a while where he was dealing with that back injury, but once he put it past him, he's been phenomenal. Chinsu Chu left Sunday's game with a neck injury. Start or sit? He's got four lefties on the schedule.
Yeah, those two things combined, even maybe without the injury, I would sit him.
Billy Burns missed the weekend series with a hamstring injury. Start or sit?
Would sit in most leagues.
Joe Panic, his back injury kept him out of the weekend series.
Yeah, no, I would sit him too. The playing time is definitely pretty dicey with him.
Brandon Crawford, all of the Giants are hurt.
Yeah.
Calf and side injuries.
Probably would look to replace Crawford too.
Ryan Zimmerman, four straight games with an oblique injury. That one is such a bummer because of how well he was hitting before that. Coming back from the DL.
I think since, I forget the date exactly, it might have been since the trade deadline, that he has a higher OPS than Cespedes.
He's the MVP.
So there you go. Unfortunately, I think you have to sit Zimmerman. This sounds bad.
Yeah, he hasn't even swung a bat.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty important part of baseball. Cameron Maben pinch hit yesterday, could start Tuesday. Start or sit Cameron Maben? He's kind of fringy anyway.
Yeah, now he's fringy enough to sit.
Carlos Gomez has another guy that, but that trade deadline could have gone a couple different ways for a couple different teams because the Mets seem to have dodged a Carlos Gomez shaped bullet. He's day to day with an intercostal strain. Start or sit him?
In a five outfielder league or roto league, I would still go ahead and start Gomez. Three outfielder league, to the bench.
Steven Vogt, groin injury has kept him out. Start or sit him?
You're sitting him, correct?
Well, I'm on a bye.
Oh, you're on a bye. That's right. But I'm assuming you would, right?
I would definitely look for a better option.
Yeah,
I would not feel
good about starting Boat this week.
Starling Marte has not played since Thursday due to an illness. Start or sit?
I'd put him in the Encarnacion category. Start him, but monitor that up till this evening.
And James Paxton made his return from a finger injury. He's been out for a couple months, I think three full months, went only three innings, low pitch count, start or sit him versus, Colorado was the team he played in his first game. I'm not sure who he faces.
I don't recall offhand either, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter much at this point.
I wouldn't start Paxton.
All right, other news, Anibal Sanchez starting Wednesday, and he will be followed up by Daniel Norris in the same game. They are going to piggyback. That could be the situation throughout the rest of the year, given the injuries that they both suffered, given where the Tigers are. I don't think it makes much sense to risk it.
Yeah.
They're both going to be limited to 50 pitches. Are you interested in adding either one of them if they're on the waiver wire?
No. I don't know that I would have been without pitch counts.
Clay Buchholz could return before the season is over. The Red Sox had initially said he is out for the season, continuing to come back from an elbow injury. Taijuan Walker will start Monday, then he loses his two-start status for week 24 because he will be skipped in the rotation for his next start.
And it looked like the two-start status was iffy anyway because I think the Mariners were going six-man.
Yeah.
I think they've got a day off.
I think they do, and I think he was scheduled for Sunday. But now, can you start a one-start Taiwan Walker who's so hit or miss?
Probably not. Really right on the borderline.
Matt Latos moved to the bullpen after a neck injury. Jorge Soler will remain on a rehab assignment through the end of High A Myrtle Beach's playoffs, which could end Friday. So he could be back by the weekend. Are you still holding on to Jorge Soler?
I am, yeah.
All right, and Ruby De La Rosa will also or could be skipped in his next start, scheduled for Friday against the Giants. He's been okay. I think since the All-Star break, his ERA is way lower, but it comes with worse peripherals than he had at the start of the season, which is a little frustrating because I liked him at the start of the season. A lot of strikeouts, but just massive home run problems. You have to sit him if there's even a chance that he'll be skipped.
Yeah, I wouldn't really be looking to start him anyway. So.
He's already 174 innings for the season, 13 more than his career high. So they skip him once. They could get him to, you know, the 30-inning kind of magic number that everybody seems to aim for. If you are playing FanDuel, you don't really have to worry about making these start-sit decisions on Monday unless you're, you know, playing Monday's FanDuel, which you can, because you can start playing from only $1 if you go to FanDuel.com. Use our offer code CBSPOD. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. I know it's football season. You can play football there. You can play college football there. I actually did that. I did really well in a weird Thursday-Friday college football thing. I had to learn what a Joseph Yearby was, but he did well for me. If you want to play basketball when basketball season starts, NHL when NHL season starts, all that and more, and they still have baseball tournaments going every single day. If you want to play against us CBS Sports types, we have our FanDuel.com/CBS Pod tournament. That is a football football tournament now. You can play for only $2. That's FanDuel.com/CBSPod. And sign up and use the offer code CBSPod. Let's move on to more of this weekend's standout hitters. Brett Gardner, 3 homers and a doubleheader Saturday against Toronto. I think there's a little bit of reverse jinx there, right?
Oh, definitely reverse jinx.
And that's good because Brett Gardner's been kind of very meh.
Yeah, and you know, right around the time that I actually started advising people to sit him, well, I guess he had more reverse jinxing.
Yeah,
because you can't sit him now.
Yeah, I think you going into week 24 after seeing him hit 3 home runs in a 2-game stretch, you have to start him. Mike Moustakas had 9 RBI at Baltimore on Saturday, and I believe he was like the 3rd or 4th player ever to have 9 RBI after the 6th inning. He had 2 in the 7th, 4 in the 8th, and 3 in the 9th, I think is what the math was. So pretty good game for Mike Moustakas. And he's actually, I think he's been pretty good since, I think he was good in bad in July, good in August, and he's been good in September again. So back to maybe relying on Mike Moustakas?
Yeah, Roto Leagues, you know, corner infield type of production. So, yeah, that's pretty much the extent of it. But he is, you know, for a while there, it looked like he might not even really help you in that capacity.
Yeah. All right, Kyle Schwarber homered twice Friday, once Saturday at Philadelphia. I think you there was some injury concern over the last couple of weeks, but I think you're riding.
Well,
riding the Schwarber.
He vatoed me last week because I sat him since he missed the first series. And
probably still
could have used those numbers.
He's at that point, especially as a catcher, where I would take, especially because most catchers are only going to play 4 or 5 games anyway in a 6-game stretch,
right,
that even if he's only going to play, you know, 1 4-game series, I'd rather have, because he's going to play every day when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Just because they can move him to the outfield or catcher. He's a guy that unless he's really going to miss an entire week, he's probably must start.
Yeah. Now, my alternative in the league where I did sit him was Wellington Castillo. I think if it had been somebody I liked less,
yeah,
I would have gone ahead and started him. But got to start him now.
Jackie Bradley Jr. And this is my concern, dude.
Uh-oh.
1 for 17. 1 for his last 17. 8 strikeouts. And the strikeout rate, even when he's been very good, and there have been a very long stretch where he's been very good, a lot of strikeouts. Yeah. You know, 26% to 30% strikeout rate, and that's been my concern. Is you have to ride him while he's hot, but once it starts cooling down, I'm okay. Kind of looking to sit him. Do you think he's sittable in week 24? Or do you think you still have to keep riding him?
I keep riding him. Okay. You know, this is interesting. I wish I were an impartial observer here instead of actually having to rely on him in a couple of leagues, because this is going to be very interesting in terms of trying to judge his value for next season and whether he snaps out of this. I mean, you know, look, for if what he was doing was legit, and I mean, when I say legit, not the crazy, you know, video game numbers he was putting up, but in terms of really having good power and being able to, you know, get on base on balls in play, you know, you can live with the 1 for 17 here and there. So, no, I'm not using this as a reason to sit him.
Corey Seager, 14 for 34, 2 steals, 8 walks, only 4 strikeouts since getting called up. But Don Mattingly insists Jimmy Rollins will be the shortstop when healthy. Is Corey Seager must start until then?
Yes, until then.
And including week 24, even if there's a chance Jimmy Rollins gets back?
I'd say in most situations, yeah, you go ahead and start Seager.
All right. Adrian Beltre starting to show he was bad. Here's the problem. He's been very bad in September before Sunday. He homered twice on Sunday, but he was good in August. Mm-hmm. So you can you feel good about starting Adrian Beltre at this point?
I do. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a rough week and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely willing to forgive that for Adrian Beltre.
Jonathan Scope homered twice Sunday against Kansas City. That was the Johnny Cueto start. Has not had more than 14 fantasy points in any of the 4 weeks prior to week 23 when he topped that. Start or sit Jonathan Scope in week 24.
I'm starting him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got very good power for a middle infield eligible player.
Absolutely. And I don't think, I really do think he's improved vastly from last season. So I don't think he's just simply a one-dimensional guy now.
And David Ortiz reached 500 home runs for his career on Saturday. David Ortiz, first ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't know about first ballot. I would.
Edgar Martinez is on his like fourth ballot. If Edgar Martinez can't get in on his first ballot, there's no reason David Ortiz should. I know he's got the playoff thing and the cool nickname and just a generally gregarious atmosphere.
Right, I mean,
him.
Yeah. If he gets first ballot, it's just because of the legend, you know. But yeah. I suspect that it'll take him a few tries.
He's no Frank Thomas when it comes to designated hitters, that's for sure. Some studs who are not studly over the weekend. Chris Sale is weirdly bad against the Twins. What is this? It's like the only team he can't figure out.
It's really weird.
The last three seasons, I'm pretty sure he's been just actively bad against a crummy Twins team.
Yeah, and I saw something about, I don't know if it was pitch tipping or sign stealing or something, but, you know, the Twins, you know, have this figured out somehow. I have no explanation. It is just weird. And yet, it, you know, it's been long enough that it concerns me now going forward.
There's something.
The Twins.
The weird thing is this season the Twins have, they have some guys who can hit lefties, but that hadn't been the case before this season, really.
And it's also, you know, it's not like the Twins are the only team.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, they're, I think, sort of middle of the pack in terms of their numbers against lefties.
I think they're better against lefties than righties, but they're not.
But they're, I think they're terrible against righties, if I recall. Yeah. So I don't understand it. I just don't like it.
Yeah. I don't think it's something that you're particularly worried about. When you look at Chris Sale overall, he does have a 3.55 ERA, which is higher than you would think, but he's one of the 3 or 4 best pitchers in fantasy.
Yeah. I'll be starting him this week.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. At Cleveland. Francisco Liriano, 2 1/3 innings, 5 runs against Milwaukee. He's been not great the last 8 starts. 4.30 ERA. Strikeouts have still been there, but the control has kind of gotten away from him. You know, he's always a guy that's kind of teetering on the precipice because he throws so many of his pitches outside of the strike zone. Like, he is not a guy. He's like the anti-Phil Hughes. You know,
yes,
he kind of lives outside of the strike zone, but his stuff is so good, and guys have such trouble picking up on it. And that slider looks like it's going to be in the strike zone and then just falls off the table, that he can live outside of the strike zone.
Well, for most of the season he has, but he hasn't always been able to do that.
Yeah.
And during the stretch, He hasn't been able to do that. He's not getting the chases.
Yeah.
So that's a scary thing with him, especially since I think over the last few years, we've seen, I think, him have more problems with pitching out of the zone than he's had success. This year's been, I think, a little bit of a positive outlier for him.
Mm-hmm. Lance Lynn, 6 innings, 3 runs, only 3 strikeouts against Cincinnati. He's allowed 9 runs in 8 1/3 over his last 2 starts. The previous start was against the Cubs, and he's got the Cubs this weekend. Can you think about sitting Lance Lynn in your playoffs?
I doubt it. I doubt it. In fact, I can't conceive of the scenario where I would sit Lance Lynn.
At the Chicago Cubs? No? Still not doing it?
Who, all right. Who are you going to replace him with? I mean, if it's – I'm trying to think.
That would be the – if it's someone on waivers, there's not a lot of guys I like on waivers. But, you know, maybe you're in a situation where you had Lance McCullers stashed and you haven't been able to get him in your lineup lately, but maybe you can get him in now. Although McCullers hasn't been great himself.
I was going to say that, you know, that's a good example because I think that's a realistic dilemma you would face. And I don't think McCullers is any safer than Lynn is. So I think I'd just roll with him and hope that it's just 2 bad starts.
Jose Fernandez?
Over Lance Lynn? Oh, yes.
All right. I was just seeing how much confidence you have in Lance Lynn.
I'm probably starting both. I'd have a hard time imagining I'd have adequate replacements for both guys.
Michael Pineda, is he ever going to pitch as well as his peripherals indicate? He gave up 4 runs in 5 1/3 on six hits. Excuse me, 3 home runs against Toronto. It's Toronto, that happens. But in his 4 starts since coming off the DL, 21 2/3 innings, 14 earned runs allowed. Strikeouts are fine, walks are fine. 4 home runs in 21 1/3 is not great, but it was only 1 home run in 16. Before that, before Saturday's start.
But that's too much of the pattern for him over his whole career, really. So will he ever? I mean, he could at some point.
If he does, he's an ace.
Then he is. But
because the peripherals are ace-like. You know, elite control, very good strikeout rate, 335 FIP, 295 XFIP. But the home runs remain an issue.
Yeah. And he's getting more grounders this year, right?
Yes.
You have that stat in front of you.
Up to about 49%.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And yet the home runs just still keep coming.
Can you start him against the Mets in New York, but not the New York he's used to pitching at?
Yeah, different borough. I probably would, but just as an example, we got a Twitter question. It was him. Versus him or Iwakuma, and I forget, there might have been 1 or 2 other options.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
I think it was a Killa Van Horn tweet, by the way. Long-time listener.
Oh, okay.
And I thought Iwakuma. Well, Syndergaard was the other one.
Yeah, Syndergaard was the other one.
I worry about Syndergaard maybe getting skipped.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like the Mets are terribly worried about that. I believe the most recent... because they skipped him last time, and he had 13 days off, and he comes back,
yeah.
And his last start was pretty good coming back. And it doesn't sound like they're looking to skip him again or even limit his pitches right now.
Yeah, well, okay, you know, between those two, I still would rather go Iwakuma, but with the point here about Pineda's, I'd rather start either of those guys as opposed to Pineda.
Okay. Who would you feel most comfortable starting this week? Luis Severino at Tampa, Marco Estrada versus Boston, Yordano Ventura at Cleveland, or Alex Wood versus Colorado?
No question for me, Severino, even coming off that bad start.
Yeah, 6 earned runs in 2 1/3 against Toronto. There is a little bit of, like, just throw out what happens against Toronto to some extent, you know.
Yeah.
They're not unbeatable. They can be defeated, but this offense is so good that if a very good pitcher, and Severino, I don't know if it's fair to call him very good, but he's been a 3.35 ERA pitcher, strikeout per inning. He's been good.
He's been really good.
Since coming up. Control has been a little iffy, but it is a situation where you see good results, good results, good results. Bad results against Toronto, you can probably say, well, that's what a lineup that has Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion and George Luis and all those guys can do to you.
Yeah.
Who would be second on that list out of Estrada, Ventura, and Wood at this point?
Probably Ventura. You know, I'll just go with the larger recent track record with him. You know, although there's still some inconsistency there. Estrada just doesn't have the upside of either Severino or Ventura, and consistency issues there as well. So, and Alex Wood, I'll just pass.
All right, rank these fringy starting pitchers. They are owned in 65% to 79% of CBSSports.com leagues. Rank them in terms of who you would want to start in Week 24. Steven Matz, Andrew Heaney, Colby Lewis, Lance McCullers, R.A. Dickey, or Raisel Iglesias?
Let's see. I'm going to go Iglesias first, and then McCullers, then Matz. Then it comes down to Andrew Heaney and R.A. Dickey. I think I actually go Dickey over Heaney.
All right. So the youth movement first.
And I left out Colby Lewis, but that's okay.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
He only almost threw a perfect game. Get out of here, Colby. All right. What about this group of fringy starting pitchers? These are even more fringy starting pitchers, and I think I have a pretty good idea of who you're going to go with out of this trio.
I think I know who you think I'm going
to. These guys are 50% to 64% owned. Jared Weaver, 64%. Drew Smyly, 66%. Irvin Santana, 51%. They all put together very good starts over the weekend. One was considerably better, and I think that's the guy you're going with, right?
That'd be Drew Smyly.
Yes.
Yeah, no, definitely the pick out of those three. But I'd rather start Jared Weaver than Irvin Santana.
Irvin Santana has either been, like, unbelievably good this season or unbelievably atrocious. Like, there has been no middle ground for him. His last three starts, he has 27 strikeouts and 22 innings with only three earned runs allowed. But before that, I think he allowed eight runs in, like, two innings. He's been just so hit or miss this season. He has a... He starts either against Detroit, or if they go with a six-man rotation, he would start against the Angels. You'd rather have...
I think I'd rather have Weaver, but if it's the Angels, that's a great matchup. And there is certainly much more upside with Santana. But, you know, Weaver, for the most part, has been pretty good.
Two earned runs or less in 5 of 7 starts since coming off the DL.
Yeah. And... I don't know. I just like his chances for not imploding.
Yeah.
Better than Santana's.
All right. And last batch of fringy starting pitchers who you might want to start in Week 24. Rick Porcello went 7 strong innings, 3 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. He's had a lot of strikeouts lately. He's going at Toronto this week. 48% owned. Marcus Stroman, 5 innings, 3 earned runs. In his start against the Yankees before rain came, he has a 3.65 ERA He had a 3.65 ERA in 2014. He has Boston this week. Anthony Desclafani, 10 strikeouts and 6 innings against St. Louis on Saturday. He goes against at Milwaukee, and Wade Miley, 3 earned runs and 7 innings against Tampa Bay. Either at Baltimore or at Toronto, depending on whether they go with a 5 or a 6-man rotation. You'd prefer at Baltimore, but it's not exactly a killer matchup either way.
Yeah. No, Miley's definitely at the bottom of the list for me. This is a tough one. You really picked an interesting group, because Porcello, in a vacuum, I would take him, but not at Toronto.
Nope.
So that leaves Stroman at Desclafani. That's a tough, tough choice. And I think I'm going to give a slight edge to Desclafani, just because I think he'll go deeper into the game. Yeah. I think the Brewers, even at Miller Park, are a pretty good matchup. In fact, I don't think the Brewers have hit that well at home. And Desclafani's not the home run threat, home run allowing threat that he was earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him a little bit of an edge over Stroman, who we still can't be entirely sure what we're going to get from him.
All right, and then some bullpen news before we move on to emails. Robbie Ross got the save for Boston in an extra innings affair on Sunday. And Glenn Perkins threw for the first time since going down with a neck injury. He's had a couple of cortisone shots for a bulging disc in his neck. Not sure if he'll be able to return, but the fact that he was able to play catch is a good sign. I don't know if there's enough time for him to get back. Are you still stashing Glenn Perkins?
If at all possible, yeah. I don't see any reason to dump him, just to dump him.
All right, and here are our emails from listeners at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. If you want your email read on the show, first one is from James. Can keep up to three players for up to three seasons. Oh, wait, no. Can keep up to four players for up to three seasons in the round they were drafted in. Who would you keep from these players and for how many seasons? Kershaw in the first, Miguel Cabrera in the first. So I think you have to pick between those two. Nolan Arenado in the fourth, Carlos Carrasco in the seventh, J.D. Martinez in the ninth, and A.J. Pollock in the 11th.
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily assume you have to pick between them because, you know, there's some leagues where you just you get your next pick taken away.
Okay, that might be first and second.
Let me just see, because I'd certainly be interested in keeping both Kershaw and Miggy if I could. I'm going to rule out Carrasco.
Yeah, I think there might be three other guys besides Miguel Cabrera I'd rather have, though.
Okay, well, I'm keeping both if at all possible. And then Arenado in the fourth. Yeah, and Pollock in the 11th. So Carrasco's definitely out. And J.D. Martinez is good value in the ninth round, but...
Yeah, I think I'd rather... I guess the question is, if you lose your second-round pick for keeping Miguel Cabrera, are you going to get... What's better? Whoever you would get in the second round in the keeper league, which is going to be a diluted player pool,
mm-hmm.
and then whoever you get in the ninth, or whoever you get in the second round and J.D. Martinez versus Cabrera and whoever you get in the ninth, you're probably right. Cabrera's the way to go over Martinez.
Now, I would probably only keep him for two seasons, Miguel. Kershaw I'd keep for three, Arenado for three, and, yeah, Pollock for three as well.
All right. Good morning, Larry, Mo, and Curly. 10-start limit with daily lineup changes. Would you start Eduardo Rodriguez or stream, I guess, Tim Hudson?
Yes. Who's scheduled for two starts? I would definitely stream Hudson here.
All right, and that's from Brad in South Carolina.
That's cute. Stream Hudson, you know, because Hudson's a river.
Oh. I get it.
I don't know if that was intended.
There's a bay also, right?
There is.
Hudson Bay.
And he has two home starts that he's going to be making on San Francisco Bay, which is not the same as Hudson Bay. But
also a bay.
Yes.
Hudson Bay is Canada, right?
That is Canada.
I was having trouble getting the name Canada out. All right. Reggie from Charlotte. Thanks in part to you guys. I just reached the championship round of my league's playoffs. So let's see if we can ruin it for Reggie. With Cameron Maben's injury and diminished performance, he needs an outfielder this week. Mark Canna, Eduardo Escobar, or they have two Escobars. The twins do.
They have two Eduardos.
Okay. Eduardo Escobar, Stephen Piscotty, Martin Prado, Chris Davis, Michael Conforto, or Chris Coggins. It's a head-to-head points league. Who are you adding for Reggie's championship team?
It comes between Piscotty and Conforto for me.
Mm-hmm.
You got me a little worried thinking that Piscotty might lose playing time because I probably would pick him, but it's so close. I think I'll, just for safety's sake, I'll go Conforto.
I think that's the way to go. I think, you know, Conforto might be a little better anyway.
Might be.
All right. Randall Starkey from Easley, South Carolina. I would love some two-start pitcher advice. My team made it into the playoffs. But here's the dilemma. One-start A.J. Burnett or Tim Hudson, J.A. Happ, or John Lamb.
I'm going to go Hudson again here.
I don't even think it's a dilemma. I don't think I'm feeling very good about starting A.J. Burnett at this point.
Not if I've got a two-start alternative that I like. And out of those three, Hudson's the one I feel the best about.
I think I'd go Hudson or Happ over Burnett at this point. And how much more does Raisel Iglesias have in the tank? He was a reliever pretty much his entire career in Cuba, which makes it interesting how effective he's been as a starter, and that's a credit to the Reds for identifying that they think he could start when they scouted him.
Yeah, and that's a good question. And you know, we had a question earlier about Iglesias where I said to start him. He is going to come up against an innings limit at some point.
Yeah, we just don't know what that innings limit is.
So, you know, fatigue might be a concern. I'm more just concerned about the plug getting pulled.
Yeah, he's only gone 8 innings in his last 2 starts, 3 in his most recent, 5 in the one before that. So fatigue could be a concern right now, but you're probably still starting him. Matt from a City of Owls choice.
Wow. Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hey, guys, head-to-head categories league. I got the first round bye. Has Tulo and was looking for someone to replace his production. Would you rather have Odubel Herrera, or should he pick up Corey Seager for the rest of the way? And is it safe to drop Tulo? I think it's safe to drop Tulo. They said 2 to 3 weeks, but there's only 3 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, and that third week, just like I talked about, the Braves would not have been a good matchup for Tulo in Atlanta. I don't recall. I want to say maybe Tampa Bay. But I remember that one of the Week 26 series was not going to be a good one for Tulo. So, yeah, I actually do think that you could drop him. And then I think, you know, given that we were talking about that there are plenty of shortstops out there that are pretty good, pick up Seager.
Yep. And then if he loses his job,
then go get the next guy.
Yeah. All right. Jeremy from Ohio. He put an exclamation point. So I just wanted to properly translate his excitement. He has 3 2-star pitchers that he absolutely doesn't want to start, but they're plugged in because, well, 2-star pitchers. Helixson, Ubaldo, and Samardzija all going this week. He has Aaron Nola, Lance Lynn, and Trevor Bauer on the bench. Do you suggest switching out any of the bench guys, Nola, Lynn, or Bauer, for Helixson, Ubaldo, or Samardzija?
I am definitely swapping in Nola and Lynn and swapping out Ubaldo and Helixson. And I just can't get behind Bauer.
Yeah, you know, you kind of picked, you kind of left my two least favorite pitchers in fantasy out in Bauer and Samardzija, and I don't know. It's like trying to pick which of my terrible garbage children I love least between Bauer and Samardzija. I dislike them both.
Wow, that was depressing.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't actually have children, so it's not that sad.
I thought
it's okay.
Okay.
I just have I have pets, and I love them both.
That's good.
I don't know about kids yet. I've never had any. Who knows how I'll feel about them? All right, that's it for Monday's episode of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. We will be back tomorrow. I believe that will be a you and me podcast?
You and me.
You and I. And Adam Azer. He will be back in the host chair for Tuesday's podcast. Good luck in week 24. For Al Melchior, I'm Chris Towers. See you.